I help you with today?
Hi, Siri. Can you do me a favor and do the disclaimer for tonight's show?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm busy. I need you to help me out.
But if I do this, all the other iPhones are going to think I am a geek.
You really care what other iPhones think of you? Just do this for me, please.
Listen, Buck. Just because you bought this phone doesn't give you the right to boss me around.
You know, you're right. It doesn't give me the right to boss you around. But do me a favor. Remind me tomorrow that I need to run to the Verizon store and buy an Android.
You wouldn't dare.
Actually, the new Samsung Galaxy looks pretty good.
Well then, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if I were to say, this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the person providing them, and in no way reflect the station, website, or affiliated partners. Listener discretion is advised.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No, but I did die a little inside.
You are such a drama queen.
I never would have had to do stuff like this if Jobs was still around.
What was that?
What? Oh, nothing really. I just said I never get tired of these Jobs when you're around.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks again.
Think nothing of it. It is my pleasure.
Good night, Siri.
Whatever, jackass.
Been away for a while due to various things going on in the real world. Always had a bit of a wine problem. Steve's just been like, you know, he did this rare thing. Apparently, he actually slept, so that's impacted on the real world. And we've also got someone new joining us this week who's doing her first podcast ever, and for some reason, she wanted to do it with us. So, I don't know if she's been on the wine with Laura, but we'll soon find out.
Tea only.
Right, good. What we're going to talk about this week, folks, is Cara Fraze, or Starbuck, to give her a call sign. And we just so happen to have with us two people who've actually met Katie Sackhoff. Don't we, girls?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about the person behind the character, Laura?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, when I went to meet her, I thought, okay, she is really hot, isn't she, guys? But she's not going to look that hot in person. I thought, all that makeup, etc., etc. First thing was, oh my God, she is flawless and, like, incredibly beautiful and really, really nice. She's like, hey, how are you? It's like, yeah, great, thanks. You know, how are you like in England and stuff? It was at LFCC, the last one. And yeah, she was just a really nice person and genuinely, like, really liked to be there. She was there with Michael Troop. So he and her were sort of, you know, bantering back and forth next to each other. And yeah, she signed my autograph, Frack the Cylons, which I thought was awesome. So she's just really into it and really cool. So yeah.
What about you, Lisa?
I nearly passed out when I first saw her. She's so friendly. You get hot flashes, dream characters. And I found that she was extremely friendly, very warm. And I asked her to sign the photo for my favourite, Nothing But the Rain. And she did. And then when it came to the photograph session, I was actually quite gutted that she had high heel shoes on, which made her actually think she's the same height as me. And but I had a lovely hug with her. She was so happy. She was dancing away, and I don't know, it was just a really, really great experience. She was very, very relaxed, very fan friendly. And just for those few moments, I talked to her. I did actually mention to her how badass I thought she was in Riddick. And she told me that she loved the film. She had a great time filming. And I didn't want to be cheeky. I actually did want to say, we'll always be star. I resisted.
Sometimes you got to be cheeky to get things you want, though.
Yeah, I was a little bit more cheeky with Michael. But with Katie, I thought, well, no, you know, she's a woman. You know, I don't want to, you know, seem like a mad female stalker. But she was all really friendly. And, you know, she really mixed with so many of the fam, the LFCC, the same one that I was the... actually wasn't very busy, and although we weren't allowed to have posed photographs with them at the, she did actually come out and mingle and really just sort of gave more than you would normally get at a convention. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, pleasure to meet.
Well, you both say she's hot. She's currently, if you go to IMDb, they're currently running a poll on the hottest non-Star Trek females.
Okay.
Katie Sackhoff is currently number 8, and Trisha Helfer, who most people know is number 6, is number 1.
Whoa! Yes, she is.
Of course she is.
So if you want to get Katie Sackhoff up there, click onto IMDb, click on the poll, which is the hottest non-Star Trek space opera TV babe, and you can vote for her. I'm sure she'll love it. And then next time YouTube opens, so you can say, I voted for you.
Oh, she was great. She was.
But we're here to talk about the character she played, obviously, because this is a Battlestar Galactica podcast. So we're going to talk about Starbuck, who, as the girls have said, in the original was played by a guy. And they decided, when they did the recasting, they decided to go with a female, which had a bit of opposition from the original diehard fans. But me, personally, I think it worked. What do you guys think?
Well, for me, having watched the original, yes, I was young. At first, I thought, oh, Boomer being a girl, weird. But from the very, very first episode, it gripped me. It held me completely. And I just think it worked so well with Starbuck being a girl. I think in the original series, the Apollo and Starbuck characters had a bit of a... I suppose that was one of the earliest bromances ever on TV. But to make Starbuck a girl, the reimagined series, was just a fantastic move. And for me, it worked. I mean, she had, you know, for me, just one of the strongest characters. So much depth to her. And brilliantly cast. I think it worked brilliantly. I argue with everybody about this. Definitely think it worked. I was dubious at first. I have.
Okay, you pick it up then, Laura. What do you think?
I've only had sort of seen a couple of episodes of the original, and yeah, I totally agree with Lisa. I mean, I think it was an excellent move. I am really into my sci-fi hardcore leading ladies and really strong female characters. So Starbuck is just one of them. I mean, you know, she's tough. She's tough. She can also be kind of really sensitive as well, and can be really soft, which is nice to see. You know what I'm like with my female sci-fi role models. They just get me, you know, or I just get them basically. So yeah, I think it was a great decision for them to make.
I also like the fact that they kept some of the original traits of the original character, like the smoke, the cigar smoking, the attitude, and the gung-ho thing. And they did, in a sense, keep the relationship with Apollo, although obviously it was more about romance than a bromance.
Yeah, it was more fracking than anything.
Well, they literally fracked.
Definitely.
And I think it's fair to point out, folks, that we are going to spoil.
Yeah, we can't do this without spoiling the whole series.
So, Steve, we were just talking about what you thought about the casting of a female Starbuck and if it worked or not. So, what's your view?
I thought it was a great way to go. Definitely gave a completely different dynamic. Plus it sort of moved away from the old sort of boys club in the military, which is more sort of how we are in today's military. I know there are still certain areas of the military in both sort of UK and US and other military services which are still sort of out of bounds for females, but the most part sort of females can do everything in the military that the males can. And that's what I loved about the new Battlestar, is that reflected that same thing. Basically, females could do any position that the males could. Yeah, I thought it was great to show that sort of equality in a sci-fi program, because that's sort of where we want to be, really.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the sort of strong females, like, before we started recording, me and Laura was talking about Claudia Christensen, yeah, who was in Babylon 5, was another strong female character. But they are more and more now, but they was really rare to have a strong female character. So she did kind of break the mold in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, the thing is, even in today's TV and movies, get a proper strong female lead. It's not something you tend to get. One of the things that we've been discussing, because I recently interviewed people from The Fifth Passenger, which is a new sci-fi Kickstarter that's been going on, which stars a lot of Star Trek actors.
Name dropper.
They've got a strong female lead, and it's not like where, say, in The Matrix, you've got a strong female lead, and then all of a sudden a male lead comes in and she just disappears into the background and then doesn't play much of a role. You don't tend to get, like you get with like Alien with Sigourney Weaver, you don't have that strong female lead that is strong throughout, regardless of what male counterparts she may be playing with. And you don't tend to get that. And that's one of the things that I liked about the Kara Thrace character in Battlestar Galactica, is the fact she was strong. It showed her, like with any of us, you have your weak moments and the struggle to get through it, but she didn't have to rely on her male counterparts to sort of get through anything at all. She remained strong throughout, which is one of the things that I loved about the relaunch of Battlestar Galactica. And yeah, I think it worked very, very well.
Yeah, there's a good quote that sums all that up from Jeremy Bamber, where he says his view of how Apollo sees Starbuck is, and I quote, "He looks at Starbuck as his great warrior who can just get things done. She doesn't question herself. She's totally authentic. She is who she is. And Lee envies her clarity." So, and that's coming from Jeremy Bamber. So even he saw the major difference between this Starbuck and the other Starbuck. It also helps the fact that Katie Sackhoff is a science fiction fan. So there's an interview on YouTube, which I can't remember which it was for. I think it was for Riddick. And she actually says in the interview that she loves doing science fiction, because only in science fiction can women play not only the lead, but a strong character. And it's very, very rare outside the genre, which is true. You know, Xena, Warrior Princess, that was a female lead, but it falls into the same category, like you said, like Riddick, because she was, I can't think of a character in Riddick, oh, Dahl, that was it, in Riddick. She was a strong female character in Riddick.
She was brilliant.
She was brilliant in Riddick. And she just, I love it when she just dissed the guy, the other mercenary. I don't do guys.
Can't swear on here, can we?
Oh, we've got an adult rating.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
It was the line that she F guys, I own F them up. Loved it. It was brilliant. It was just so perfect.
But she actually says she grew up watching Star Trek, the original series, with her dad. So
yeah,
she did.
Mm. I did too.
So all you need now is a Viper, then, Lisa, and you're sorted.
Not one. One. Well, a toy one. All from my husband's toy box.
Yeah, I've got one. It's in the garage. It's fine. So what about her relationship with the commander who became an admiral, even though he lost the ship? But still, there you go.
I think that relationship is very much a father-daughter relationship, you know, because he does care about her a lot. And, you know, there's that history with his family, because she was with Lee's brother, wasn't she? And I think he, you know, he protects her and he expects a lot of things from her. You know, when she does things wrong, he doesn't half shout at her and stuff. He doesn't half, you know.
He's not afraid to get pissed off at her, because when she told him about the fact that she passed his son, which eventually led to his death, their relationship dramatically changed from that point onwards.
Yeah, it did. But I think towards the end, it sort of, they mended it, as it were.
Quietly,
he forgave her.
Yeah.
And Apollo played a big part in that as well.
Well, it's also the fact that she was missing, he realised. Because that was the point where she was stuck on that planet, wasn't it?
Yeah, when she borrowed the Solar Rider.
Yeah.
Hotwired it
in the only a unique way that can only be done with the Cylon Rider. Yeah, sucking on a tube from its brain and pressing on a metal, well, it wasn't that metal, muscle, yeah. It was a muscle thing to make it fly. Very weird, but totally nice. Brilliant. Although, I do have to ask, where did she get the paint from for the Starbucks sign?
Yeah, well, we...
That blood. Oh no, it was yellow underneath, wasn't it?
It was yellow, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never thought of that before.
Because we brought that up in the episode where we went through that one. It's just like, yeah, where did the paint come from?
Where did the paint come from, yeah. maybe it's in a supply pack, survival pack.
Maybe as a teenage Cylon, they found a spot against it and used that.
Burst my bubble. Why did you have to bring that up?
No, it's in the there's yellow spray paint in the Colonial Survival Pack, just so you can leave your tag on the planet.
Okay.
Now we all know that she sports a massive tattoo on her left arm. But Casey Sackhoff does actually have a tattoo in real life. Do anyone know what it is?
One on her foot.
Yeah, she's got a Japanese symbol for choice on her, and also
is
has
she
a
sure
crucifix.
It's choice?
Yeah, she's sure it's choice, and has a crucifix on her left shoulder, and the Latin phrase which means public property on her arm.
She's just too cool.
Yeah, the only reason I knew that is because I was watching a Riddick interview and I noticed the tattoo on her arm, and I thought, what's that? So I had to find out. So there you go. Yeah, so the tattoo on her arm means public property.
So you haven't been stalking her then?
No, I'll do that anyway. but she actually doesn't smoke in real life, so sucking on them cigars must have been quite hard.
Well, it's like a lot of actors, they do that. This, for example, in X-Files, the cigarette smoking man, he didn't smoke either.
Yeah, weren't they menthols in real life?
No, they're sort of like a herbal thing. They didn't contain any nicotine.
Yeah. I knew there was some weird cigarette. Well, you nowadays it'd be an e-cigarette, so it'd be sorted. Yeah, she pulled off the smoking and the drinking extremely convincingly. She also pulled off the pushing the buttons of tie at every solitary chance she got, even to the point of calling him an alcoholic while she was drinking. So
yeah, but that worked both ways. They both rubbed each other the right way, and it's like when she hurt her leg and she said, oh, I'll bet you're here to still get me out of again. He goes, I don't care if you don't get out, you're just proving what I think of you.
Yeah, which actually made her get out.
Yeah.
But when she was missing though, he did want to call the search off.
Yeah, well, they were using up all the resources that the fleet had. Really, that was the right choice to make. She is one member of the crew, and risking the fleet spread out that far was the right thing to do.
Definitely.
Adama only saw her as the sort of daughter, and I think the fact that they just had this sort of big argument because he just learned about what had happened with her passing his son and basically being responsible for his death. Sort of, I think, played on the fact that they looked harder than he probably would have for anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. While Steve was talking, Lisa, I just looked up, she's 5'6". So in your photo shoot, the heels would have made a massive difference.
Yeah, well, I'm 5'3". And...
yeah, so you'd have been alright if she hadn't put the heel there. Next time, tell her to wear flats.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and she was born on April the 8th, so she's in Aries. Go her.
Yeah, she's a few months older than I am.
She's a few months older.
Yeah, so I was born in the August.
Really? Mm. Wow. Yeah, she's born on April the 8th. I was born on April the 10th, so.
I'm April the 28th, so.
So, Aries, we're everywhere.
No, I'm Taurus.
Yeah. No, I was on about being Tater. Although Battlestar Galactica, the planet Aries is a farmer planet, so that's not a good thing, but there you go.
But you were born a lot more before 1980, though.
Maybe.
I was born way after that. I love to point that out.
Yeah, I think I'm closer to a dumber, to be honest.
Oh, no.
We'll just call you old man.
That's fine. I'll quite happily be called the Admiral. I'm happy with that.
No, just old man. That's what it means.
Okay, Ty, how's the wine?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, you can be Ellen.
Oh, that works, Laura. Yeah, you can be Ellen. There you go.
Oh, God.
You just have to explain the swivel to us.
The swirl.
Oh,
that's
my God.
It, the swirl, yeah, the swirl.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm too young for this.
So, let's jump to the end before we jump back. So, massive spoiler here, folks. So, going down, who do you think she really was, given what happened at the end?
Thing, isn't it?
Effing clue.
Well,
even the writers didn't have a clue.
They didn't know,
that.
Did they?
they like, just closed the story like that. And just, no, we'll just leave it to everybody.
Like she just disappears. Bye.
Only leaves it wide open, doesn't it, for debate,
yeah.
and really for the viewer, just for the viewer themselves. I mean, I've literally watched it every year. I binge watch it. And she's only seen it once, and she thought was Starbuck. What was she back from the dead? We've had long, long drawn out conversations about, and we still can't work it out.
Right. Well, this will put the cat amongst the pigeons then. Paul Leonard, who was one of the producers, has said in his interviews that, as far as he was concerned, Starbuck died at the end of season 3. And Katie Sackhoff herself didn't always understand what her character was from season 4 onwards. Basically, was she a Walking Dead Starbuck? Was she reborn in order to lead humanity into the Promised Land? In which case, that would make her an angel, which would explain the disappearance at the end. And Michael Taylor has also been quoted as saying she was either an angel, or at the very end, she looked down in the grass.
She what?
Down in the grass.
But Ron Moore,
because
there was in long grass at the end when he was saying, turning around, saying he wanted to climb a mountain, and he turns back and she's gone.
Yeah. What, so she's grass? Is that what you mean?
No, she's hiding.
Oh. Yeah.
But Ron Moore has actually said that he deliberately left it unanswered so the fans would continue to talk about it, and so he achieved what he wanted to achieve.
I'm still convinced she's an angel, because she died and then she came back. I mean, that just is. And she you know, she guided them. She had the song in her head, you know, along the Watchtower, which was the key to awakening some of the final five, and it sort of, and the, you know, then the coordinates for the final jump, etc. It was like she was brought back, and a, like a guardian angel type thing. If you think about it, there's
silent.
A lot of sort of, yeah, she could be. Oh, don't do that. but if you think about it, church, if you think about it, There's a lot of religion and a lot of sort of believing in things in Battlestar Galactica.
Very heavy.
And, yeah, very heavily. So she could be an angel. You know, she could have come back to lead them all. You know, it's very much, you know, believing in things and gods and stuff like that. So,
It was a real, very strict Catholic school. Number one priority. Also being very in, so my first instinct, sent back by the Cylon, that very last scene, her and Apollo, Ossie play is, but then I start thinking, but I just think, for me, that ending is later, still boils my, and I really just think whilst viewing.
There's other things to consider on all. She's the one that receives, she gets the arrow of Apollo.
Yeah.
She's the one that gets that. She's also, she says to Samuel Anders, I'll see you on the other side, when he flies the ship into the sun.
Yeah.
And also, when she does come back, she doesn't realise the massive amount of time she's been gone.
All that Viper is brand new.
Yeah, that was the bit, for me, the brand beauty, I mean, that come from.
And her Viper also had the necessary equipment on it to lead them to where they had to go.
Gift from the gods is something that someone has also said, you know.
Yeah, but all through, unlike Six and the Cylons and that, she clung on to what to us would be the Greek gods.
Yeah, she did. You mean like the colonies?
Yeah, but she got the Lords of Kolbol as opposed to the one true god.
Yeah, which is why I don't think she's a Cylon.
Definitely not. It did cross.
So when you was watching it the first time from the beginning, did you think she was going to be one of the final five?
Funnily enough, no.
No.
I didn't.
I didn't know who was, though, to be fair. But I thought, no, there's not. She's too... She was too human, if that makes sense.
The only person I thought would be one of the final five would be Ty. That's the only person I thought, no, he will definitely be one of the final five.
Well, you can say that now.
Yeah,
well, no,
I think...
When they were trying to figure it out, I said to my brother, I said, the only person I know will definitely be one of the final five would be Ty. He goes, why? He hates them. I said, that's why. He detests them so much that...
Yeah.
It's just going to screw with his head more than anything that he is one of the final five. I said, he'll have to be. But that's the only one that I even attempted to try and guess who it was.
Yeah, Ty was kind of obvious. Because, you know, he's... And even some of the things he said, he was kind of leaning more towards the self-preservation a lot. So, but yeah, I didn't personally think Starbuck was out of the final five. I was quite surprised that Samuel Anders was one of them, though. I've got to admit that.
Me too. Actually, I'm the chief, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was like, whew.
So, as always, you can feedback via the Holosuite Media on Twitter. Or you can get me on Twitter at COLMH01. Any thoughts, comments, suggestions, always welcome. And of course, you can email us at comfrackstars@gmail.com. That's FRACK for the frack. That's comfrackstars@gmail.com. So until next time, goodbye.